Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land, this is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNN Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well. With respect, or I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat. Is this a fruit bat free program? You're listening to Black by Color only. Hello, everybody out there. I hope today finds you doing well. Welcome to today's show. If you would like to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. It's 646-478-5284. And you call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. Please be aware of the aforementioned fruit bat alert. And if you think you can indulge yourself in, if you think you want to come on here and indulge yourself in character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, trolling, I'm going to add gaslighting to that too. That's a new term I've learned over the past several months. You come in here gaslighting and doing all that type of stuff, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me, but when you come on this show, just be sure you're respectful in your interactions on this show, okay? That's all I ask for is respect. Anyway, while our country roasts in a nuclear holocaust, or at least here in North Carolina, it feels, man, it's been hot the last few days. I believe the warm weather is here to stay here in North Carolina. But as the temperatures go up, so do our gas prices. Here in Durham, the highest I've seen our gas prices at $4.39 a gallon. And that is the highest in my 53 and a half years of living. That is the highest I have ever seen our gas prices, ever. So you know something is going on, you know. Let's just thank Joe Biden. Let's just give a hand to Joe Biden. Thank you, Joe Biden. We love our high gas prices. We love the fact that that our children can't get baby formula, you know, even though I think there's a way you can get around that. See, a lot of times we're so dependent on the government that when something goes down the pike where we panic and we're like, oh my gosh, no. You know, basically they say if you're out of baby formula, just get you some goat's milk. Get you some goat's milk. It probably, you know, it's probably better for you than a baby formula is. And, you know, because we've gotten so accustomed to certain things we feel like that when it goes off the shelf or whatever, we sit there and we panic. So get you some goat's milk, because we've only had baby formula, you know, like for, I don't know, for 50, 60 years now, you know. I mean, how did we ever get along without baby formula before then, you know? It's kind of like the diapers that the babies wear, you know, the diapers, they cling to the thighs, they cut out all them gaps and everything. That those just came around like in the late 70s and early 80s, you know? So, but folks, as the world burns, sounds like a name of a soap opera. You know, as the world burns, you know, we, a lot of people, they continue to make excuses for the president and, you know, for certain people in our government and whatever. And let me just say that I am ticked off today. I'm really, really ticked off. This past Sunday, my wife, we went to church, went out to eat at the Golden Corral, came home, and sometimes I like to chill, go on to YouTube, and what comes across my face is we have another tragic mass shooting in our country, in Buffalo, and this shooting was perpetrated by a racist white punk named Peyton Gendron. I think that's how you spell pronounce his name. You know, I'm not sure if he deserves the respect of having his name pronounced the correct way. This boy goes in, you know, he's overcome with this thing called white replacement theology, or is it theory, white replacement theory, you know, believing that white people are being replaced by minorities, and, you know, he wants to be a hero to save the white race, and he goes out there and he starts shooting up this grocery store. He kills 10 people. The youngest one was just buried today. The youngest victim was just buried today. One of them was a father who was buying a birthday cake for one of his children, which that just makes it more tragic. And when I heard about this story on Sunday, I just shook my head, sighed real, real hard, and I said, here we go again. We're going to hear about how the white man is, you know, coming after black people, and that we black people, we got to keep our heads up no matter where we go. And you know, they're always out to get us. They're always hunting us down. And, you know, that, and I'm sitting there like, and see, I get tired of it. I really do. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, because sometimes people they hear me talking the way I do, and they say, well, oh, you don't think there's racism anymore, do you? No, there is racism. And yes, I do believe that there are white people out there who are racist against black people. But see, the reason why you would think that about me is because you really don't know me that much. You just hear me talking like this and you say, oh, he doesn't believe in racism anymore. No, as long as a man's sin condition remains in him until Jesus comes back, you're going to have racism. You're going to have people who are racist, because racism is an effect of man's sin nature. Okay, just like murder, lying, stealing, cheating, things of that sort. It's an effect. It's an expression of man's sin nature. So you're always going to have racists. That's why I get so bent out of shape sometimes when I see people say, we got to stop racism. You're not going to stop it. Well, why you got to say it like that? Why you got to speak it like that? Well, you're not. As long as there is a sin condition in this world, we're going to have racism. So, and I'm not saying we shouldn't speak out against it or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But when we make these national campaigns and these national protests, oh, we got to do something about racism. The only way you're going to stop racism is to get rid of man's sin nature. And that's not going to happen until Jesus comes back. Hate to point that out to you. But whenever it happens, yeah, do speak out against it. You know, I'm not saying don't speak out against it. And don't sit here and think that I don't know that there's racism in the world, that I'm trying to ignore it and everything. You know, people who do that stuff, that's stupid when they say stuff like that. You know, I've had family members tell me that, oh, you don't believe that our mothers and our grandmothers went through racism. I know they did. But I'm just saying we're not going through that today. And you got people out there today that still say we're going through the same thing we went through in the 50s and the 60s. So can anyone show me the separate water fountains or the separate bathrooms or the separate hotels or any case where anyone went into a restaurant, they said, nah, we don't serve your kind here? Can someone show me an example of that? Just show me an example. And I'm not talking about in the 50s and the 60s either. I'm talking about here today, you know, within the past 20 years. I'll say within the past 20 years. Can anyone tell me that? Show it to me. Don't tell me that it goes on. Give me a specific incident. But anyway, you know, yes, this dude is a racist. Overcome with paranoia, thinking his white race is gonna be wiped off the face of the earth, which it's not. Response to this. See, one thing that I know what's gonna come down the line. We're gonna hear about this incident. We already know who the shooter is. We know that he's a white person. And all the apostles of blackness are going to go out and start singing that same old song about how white people are out to get us. But when a black person does the same thing, it's crickets. Well, I'm concerned because I'm a black person. Well, they'll deal with those, the black people that commit murder, they'll deal with them. But we got to, no, Geronimo. You got to deal with the black perpetrators just the same way you deal with the white ones. Because one thing you got to understand, even though we're black, white, yellow, whatever, we're all human beings. And no one's life is more precious than another. Your skin color doesn't measure your value in this world. You're not of high value because your skin is dark. You're not of high value because your skin is light. We are all of equal value in today's world. So I go on my Facebook page, you know, and people talking about, you know, the Buffalo shooter and how he's racist and, you know, he killed these black people. Yeah, and if you're a white person and you don't like black people, you're racist. But keep in mind, if you're a black person and you don't like white people, you're racist too. So I get on my Facebook page. Let me pull it up right quick. Oh, I ain't got it set up like I should. Let me get this set up. It shouldn't take long. So I get on my Facebook page. And see, here's the thing that I don't like. This is one thing I don't like. And like I said earlier, this is a term that I just got familiar with within the past few months, gaslighting. Gaslighting is the act of trying to get a person to deny their realism, make them doubt what they know to be real. That's what gaslighting is. And of course, you're going to have your gaslighters in a situation like this, because when you start pointing out that it's not just white people going out here killing up, killing a bunch of folks. It's black folks that do it too. But they don't want to hear that. All they want to hear is about what the white man is doing, or how he's killing us off, and we get all bent out of shape because we're black, and this white person did this to black people. Well, do you feel like that when a black person shoots and kills a bunch of white people? Because that does happen. It does happen. Something about let me get that. Okay. You all remember Colin Ferguson? Colin Ferguson? Oh, let me give you something more recent. Frank James. Do you all remember that person? Oh, you don't? How about Daryl Brooks? Y'all remember that person? Y'all remember John Ali Muhammad and Lee Boyd Malvo? Y'all remember them? I guarantee you, I can mention these names to your typical black person. They won't know who these people are. Frank James shot up the Brooklyn subway. Shot up a subway in Brooklyn, excuse me. Shot up a subway in Brooklyn. Threw a gas bomb and started shooting people. Thank goodness nobody died. Not to my knowledge. But Frank James had shown his hatred for white people for a long time on YouTube and Facebook. Nobody said a thing about it. And today, nobody is sitting here saying, that man is a racist. Because I think he was trying to kill Asian people. That's what I think it was. I think he was trying to kill Asian people on the subway. But it comes and it goes. We've forgotten about Frank James. Or how about Timothy Simpkins? Any of you all remember Timothy Simpkins? Do y'all know who Timothy Simpkins is? Of course we don't, because the news doesn't put it up to our faces like they do with a Michael Brown or a Dante Wright or a Breonna Taylor. Timothy Simpkins, 18 years old, shot up this school, shot four people, one almost died. Was sent to jail, but he was released on $75,000 bond. Now that ticks me off. This boy could have killed people, and he's released from prison, from jail, on a $75,000 bond. And not only that, when he went home, he had a party waiting for him. Where's the outrage of that? Where's the outrage for that? Come on, y'all. Come on. You want to get mad when a white person shoots up a bunch of black people, but you don't get mad when black people shoot up a bunch of white people. Where's the outrage? Huh? Where is it? Ooh, Vincent, you sound mad. You doggone straight I'm mad. Because I don't care about your skin color. You shoot and kill a bunch of innocent people, you're a scumbag murderer. I don't care if it's racism or whatever. You're a scumbag murderer. But you only get bent out of shape when it's a white person killing black people. But black people doing the same thing, you don't get outraged. People tick me off sometimes with this mess. So I go on my Facebook page, and you know how people say that only white people are involved in mass shootings. It's only white people involved in mass shootings. Oh, really? Let me get my Facebook page ready. Let me get it up. Let me get it ready. But yeah, I'm ticked off with this mess. I'm ticked off. You want to sit there and get mad because a white person calls you the N-word, but you have no problem saying it to another black person. And you have no problem calling a white person a cracker. Here we go. I put this meme up on my Facebook page the other day. Because, you know, people don't understand that black people have been involved in mass shootings as well. Y'all know who Frank James is? I just mentioned him. That's the shooter in Brooklyn Subway. Now, this list that I have right here, he's the only one I've heard of. Anyone heard about the Iowa nightclub shooter, Timothy Rush? Anyone? Mass shooter. How about the Sacramento mass shooter, Dandrea Martin, and his brother Smiley Martin? Y'all ever heard of them? Brandon Knight. Shot up a Arkansas car show in March of this year. Have you heard of Lee Wilson? Shot up a Vegas hookah bar. Jamal Flint shot up a Virginia hookah bar. Y'all heard of him? Have you? So I put this up on my page, on my Facebook page. And then this guy, he happens to be one of my Facebook friends. But this guy is a champion gaslighter. I mean, big time champion gaslighter. Excuse me. And he gets up here. And see, this is what they do. And see, he pours on the gaslighting. He pours it on. Pours on the if they had an Olympics for gaslighting, this guy would get the gold medal every time. I don't know what's up with my computer today. Maybe it has something to do with that storm coming over. Trying to get my stuff together here. Come on now. So this guy gets on my page. He seems to be kind of offended that I would put this list of these black mass shooters. All of them were involved in mass shootings just this year, 7 of them. But we don't hear anything about that. And matter of fact, the stats say that most of your mass shootings that occur in the U.S., they're committed by black perpetrators. But of course, we don't believe that because we don't see that on the news, because the news will tell us everything. The news will tell us everything. But guess what? The news don't tell us everything. And I've you know, explained that several times here on this program. Come on, y'all. Come on. I've explained that several times on this program that the news doesn't tell you everything. And see, people think because they think that the news is telling them everything, if someone tells them something they never heard, they tend to dismiss it. Oh, I ain't heard that. And see, a lot of times it's people who don't read or research or anything like that. I'm trying to get my comments up here. But I need to get here. Hope it doesn't go all the way to the top. Oh, it did. It did. Trying to get my stuff together. I should have had it together before I started the show, and I had a mind to have it together, have everything together, so that the show could go smoothly. And this is what happens when you're not prepared. I want you all to hear what this guy said was my reason for putting up this meme with those seven black mass shooters. Like he knows me better than I know myself. And so he went into gaslighting. And I made a determination because I talked to the guy on Facebook Live. We had a debate on Facebook Live. It didn't go to as well as I wanted it to because Facebook Live, something's wrong with the communication or something there, And it wasn't easy to keep up a conversation with him. But he continued to gaslight. He kept saying that, you're more concerned about race. And anybody who knows me, if you've been on this show for any amount of time, you know that I am not a race man. He said, you keep mentioning black and white. Black and white is a lie. But then he'll turn around and talk about white replacement theory as if, I can do it, but you can't do it. You can't talk about race. And, folks, let me be honest with you all. I don't like talking about race. I don't like distinguishing people by black and white. I don't. Of course, that's how the world does it. And see, that's why I use those terms, black and white and everything, because that's how the world sees us. And I really don't, be honest with you, I just see your skin color as a superficial characteristic. That's all. That's all I see. As skin color, I'm not going to sit here and say I don't see white or I don't see skin color, because I do. It's hard to say that you don't see skin color because we all come in a variety of colors. So it's pretty hard to say, well, I don't see skin color. But when I first see you, I say, oh, that's a white guy. And boom, that's it. Now, this guy... his name is George Middleton. He gets up here and he puts up a meme showing, white folks and black folks. Like he's showing a picture of Dylann Roof, and he says he was heavily armed, but he was just arrested. And that then he shows George Floyd unarmed and murdered, and shows some guy with a rifle. I don't know who this guy is. And then shows a picture of Breonna Taylor, unarmed, murdered. So he's sitting there telling me that, you're making these distinctions between race and everything, which is not really my point. My thing is to show that, okay, you all want to blame white people for something. Well, look, there are black people that are doing the same thing that you're accusing white people of. And so he says this. He says, apples and oranges. Mass shootings that are equal in their ignorance, however, unequal in their cause. I don't care what the cause is. See, that's the problem. I don't care what the cause is. You murdered innocent people. So if I murder people and I did it because I'm a racist, that means if a person murders somebody and he's not a racist, that means his murders are not to be taken as heavily as a racist murder. I mean, come on now. I don't care about the cause. He says playing tit for tat with these social ills is not serious. Then he says, you post this as an apparent defender of these white nationalists. And see, this is something I get a lot. Oh, you trying to kiss up to the white man. I'm not defending white nationalists. Where do you get that I defend white nationalists? See, this is gaslighting. Do you have any empathy for those 10 lives black and white lost yesterday? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But see, I don't look at it one-sided like you do. Or are you using that tragedy to support your partisan field support for the white replacement theorists? Now, white replacement theory was something that I just learned this week. I never heard of it. And he's saying your partisan field support, you know, he's saying this is, to you, this is political. Political? Anybody who listens to my show knows I'm not a political person. I don't care what your politics is, Republican, Democrat, conservative, libertarian, liberal. I don't care what it is. All I care about, excuse me, is the truth. That's all I care about. And see, that's what he's doing here. He's gaslighting. He's saying, do you have any empathy for those 10? What makes you think I don't have empathy for them? Because I showed a bunch of black thugs that do the same thing that these white thugs do? Huh? But I can guarantee you that if I put up a list that showed a bunch of white mass shooters, he wouldn't have had anything to say about it. But, oh, I'm showing a list of black people who've done it. Oh, well, you just trying to defend the white nationalists. No, I'm not. They're hiding behind you. They feel supported when they see stuff like this. So you don't think the black nationalists don't feel emboldened when they see your memes showing these black people who are unarmed, but they were murdered? Breonna Taylor wasn't murdered. And I'll go so far to say that George Floyd wasn't murdered either. The circumstances between their two deaths is very tragic. Don't get me wrong. And don't get me wrong, I'm not taking up for Derek Chauvin because what he did was wrong. I put a video on my Facebook page showing you the George Floyd encounter from the beginning to the end. He was not brutally murdered like people tell you. Oh, he was brutally murdered. What he said, what Derek Chauvin did was wrong. Don't get me wrong, people. Don't get me wrong. Putting your knee on someone's neck is not police procedure. It's not police procedure. But I don't believe that Derek Chauvin intentionally murdered him. Derek Chauvin, he was wrong what he did. I don't think he got the right sentence because how in the world are you going to convict someone of murder and manslaughter at the same time? I'll charge him with manslaughter. And how you all think Breonna Taylor was murdered, I don't know where you get that one from. Her boyfriend, I think his name is Kenneth Walker. He has a knock on the door. He fires a shot through the door, hits one of the cops in the leg. The cops return fire. Now, I'm trying to figure out how in the world he shot at the cops, but he came out of that encounter unscathed, but Breonna Taylor was killed. Now, I'm not saying, I'm really not trying to confirm anything or whatever, but it sounds like she was used as a human shield. Like, he fired the shot, and he ducked behind her, and she ended up getting shot. Now, a lot of these cats on here, I don't recognize their faces and whatever. I see Michael Brown down there. Once again, they say Michael Brown was murdered. Michael Brown was not murdered. Michael Brown attacked the cop, and Michael Brown, he's big dude. He's probably bigger than I am. Real big dude. And the cop shot him in self-defense. Oh, how in the world can it be self-defense? Michael Brown didn't have a gun, but he had a fist. He had an elbow, had a knee, had a foot, had an arm, had all that weight. And I don't know who the rest of these people they say that are unarmed and were murdered, and these others that say heavily armed. And you'll see the picture in my show's description. You'll see it. You know, maybe you all can inform me on that. But this guy, he gets up here and he starts gaslighting me, saying you're just taking up for the white supremacists because your partisan politics. And I told him, I said, I don't have anything political. And when we talked to each other on Facebook Live, he was like, you know, you keep distinguishing everything by race. You know, that's what the world does. That's what they use to separate us. And yes, it is. It is what they use to separate us. Don't get me wrong. They do use race to separate us. I'm still going to call myself a black person. I'm going to call a white person, whatever, you know. But then he gets up and he asks me, well, how many black people are police officers and CEOs and yada, 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 you know, in these professions and whatever? How many black people are in them? I said, it's not a lot. And he was like, oh, yeah, see. I said, nah. You need to understand that white people are 65% of the people in this country. Black people only 13%. So there's going to be a disparity there. And then he said, you know, that's a sign of systemic racism. And I'm sitting there like, okay, so he's telling me I'm identifying things by race, but here he is talking about systemic racism. And before I could really get into the explanation, that's when everything started going all fizzly and everything and stuff like that. I wish I could have, you know, continue to tell him, you know. And I said, and I asked him before that, I said, so can you tell me why people from Nigeria can come over here and they're probably the most successful group of people in this country? They come over here and they prosper. You got two thirds of them that live in the Houston area of Texas are college educated. Now, can you tell me how in the world they can come over here and meet with more success than black people who already live here? He said, well, we don't see them as black people. I said, and my wife heard it. My wife heard it. Now, my wife is from Liberia. And my wife said, what? My wife said, they consider me to be a black person too. I mean, this guy was, I mean, like I said, he was a champion gaslighter. And he was trying to get me to, you know, say, you know, whatever you're thinking, you know, you're really not thinking what you're thinking, you know. That's what you call gaslighting. And I told him, I said, I don't go by race. You might go by race, not me. Because I'll just as condemn a black person who kills a white person as I will and vice versa. Because you've just taken an innocent human life. See, that's how I see it. I see us as different colors and everything, but guess what? I also see us as human beings. I'm not going to go into detail with a lot of what he said to me on Facebook, because he pushed a lot of insults on there. You know, people were trying to tell him, you know, they were trying to explain to him, you know, how he's wrong. And, you know, he come out with the insults and everything. Now, he was very respectable to me on the Facebook Live, but in my Facebook, the thread that I put up, he was very disrespectful. He was saying that, you know, you're taking up for the white racists and the white supremacists. And see, I get this from these black folks. Look, I have swum in this pond before, okay? So when you come up and you start accusing me and saying that I'm trying to play up to the white person or trying to defend white people in it, I am not in here to defend white people. I'm here to defend people, period. But that thing that guy, he said, you post this as an apparent defender of these white nationalists. And then he turned around and said that I'm the one that distinguishes everything by race. And we shouldn't distinguish anything by race because that's what's separating us. But here he is talking about white nationalists. And I asked him, I said, why do you accuse me of distinguishing things by race and you do the same thing? He come up with some crazy answer. I just cut him off. I just cut off that conversation on Facebook. I said, this man, I'm not going anywhere with him. I'm not going anywhere with him. You know, so. But you know where people's loyalty lies based on what outrages them. And if you are outraged by what this young man did on last Saturday, but you're not outraged when a black person does it, we know where your loyalties lie. It lies with your skin color. Because you've been fed that steady diet of black victimhood for most of your life. The news media, they form your opinion about what's going on in the country. And next thing you know, you're up there, yeah, they're after us black people. Yes, these white people. Look, I get just as outraged when a black person kills a white person as I do vice versa. And people say, well, these black men, they weren't targeting white folks. Yes, they were. Yes, they were. And by the way, why does it matter who they target? They killed innocent people. See, that's another thing, too. We make it like, oh, the murderer is worse because he did it out of racism instead of out of evil. Because racism, hatred, all that comes from evil. So I'm not going to put a heavier load of murder on a person because he did it out of racism. He did it out of hatred, and hatred comes from evil. And where does evil come from? It comes from the devil. That's where it comes from. So I don't care if you murdered someone because you were racist. You're still a scumbag murderer. And let's not get so caught up in black versus white or white versus black. What about black killing black? What do you call those young men who kill other black people? What do you call them? Because they are by far the ones who are helping to whittle down the numbers of the black population. 95% of black people who are murdered in this country are murdered by another black person. We don't discuss that. We don't talk about that. All we want to talk about is what to do about white supremacy. White supremacy is the enemy. That's why I don't get so excited when you get these when you get these black candidates for governor and mayor and everything. They sit up there, they talk about white supremacy all the time. They so woke and everything, they forget that they need to deal with the crime situation going on in their cities. Check out Lori Lightweight in Chicago every weekend. How many people getting killed in Chicago? Pianki will probably tell me when he comes on here. How many black people get killed in Chicago? You ain't got no white cops killing black people there. How many black people get killed in Chicago? And how many of them get killed by white people? Come on. Here in Durham, North Carolina. Yeah, this little country hick state that I live in. We've had almost a murder per week this year. We're on course to break the record for the murders that have been committed in this city this year. But we got a black woman mayor and we got a black woman police chief. And what they are more concerned about is being woke. How can we help out the LGBTQ? How can we stop white supremacy? Which white supremacy is not an issue in this country. Don't get me wrong. We got white supremacists in this country, but they cannot affect the infrastructure of this country. Oh, boy, I tell you. And stuff like this, it ticks me off. It does. That's why, you know, y'all may have heard me raise my voice on this show 2 times already. But it ticks me off. Because we're sitting here, we're looking at a distraction. We're looking basically pretty much at a mirage. While all the dirty deeds are going on behind our backs. We choose to ignore the three elephants in the room. Just so we can kill one fly that is getting on our nerves. And we sit there, we swat at that doggone fly, and that fly just buzzing and dipping and diving and juking us and everything. And the three elephants just sitting there like, hey, dude, you see what's going on here? You think we should tell them anything? Nah, man, pass the popcorn. This is going to get entertaining. You got three elephants in the room. But your only concern is that little buzzing fly, if I can just kill that fly. But yeah, you got elephants in the room, breaking your dishes, ripping up your carpet, pooping on the floors. You choose to ignore that for the little fly that I just got to get that fly. And yeah, Pianchi, yeah. Yeah, I defend them too. I defend them too. Bring it, boy. What's up, bud? And, oh, man, my sister up in New York. Always a pleasure. Got Retta in the house. I think we got Iredale in the house too. Me and Iredale were talking about this about a little more than an hour before I came on the show. We were talking about this. And we want to sit here, we want to vote for candidates based on what are they going to do about white supremacy. We got a candidate running here in Durham, and she's talking about she saw all the black people falling behind, so she wants to stop all the Republican attacks on our voting rights. What attacks? They keep saying this stuff. Attacks on our voting rights. And folks, oh, by the way, did you all hear about the Atlanta elections? Did y'all hear about the Atlanta elections this week? Seems like their so-called restrictive voting law allowed more people to register to vote. Did y'all hear about that? Oh, of course you didn't. Because the people who run Atlanta, they're racist. They don't want black people to vote. But it turned out more people registered to vote as a result of that so-called racist restrictive voting law in Georgia. Now go figure that one out. Go figure that one out. I mean, for real. Oh, Pianchi's asking me for my Facebook page. My Facebook page. Well, you should see it, you know, because I'm the most handsome man on Facebook, so it shouldn't be hard to find. Just look for Vincent E. Brown. You'll see me huddled with my wife with a New Hope sign in the background. that's the church we go to, New Hope Church. And you'll see me with my wife. And the picture above that is a teddy bear that says Happy Valentine's Day, because my wife gave me a Valentine's gift, and I thought it was so cute. I said, yeah, I know we're not in February anymore, but that just shows you the love my wife and I have for one another. But just look for Vincent E. Brown. It shouldn't be hard to find. Shouldn't be hard to find. Man, an hour has almost gone in this show. Let's see. Okay, Pianchi is giving me a little tidbit here. It says, we want our people in America, and this comes from MuhammadSpeaksNews.com, who we are, black supremacists. We want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in a separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. And I think the statement, if I'm correct, I think I may have heard something like this from the 60s or the 70s. You know, I've heard something like this. And once again, they're depending on the government. Your former slave masters are dead because the former slaves are dead. We didn't have any slave masters. They're gone, never to rise again. But see, and that's why I do this show, because I want to show the discrepancies and the inconsistencies. We had this selective outrage when a black person gets murdered by a white person. Oh, we just go to town. We just go off. But when a black person murders another black person, or a black person murders a white person, or a black person murder anybody, nothing to see here. Had a shooting in Chicago, I think, Wednesday, and two people got killed. And they say they caught the suspects. Guess what? They said they caught a suspect. Where's his picture? When this young man shot up Buffalo, we immediately knew who he was, picture and everything. But this guy in Chicago, and I'm pretty sure it's black on black crime, shot and killed two people, and they say they caught a suspect, but we didn't see his mugshot. We don't even know who he is. You know why they do that? Because we don't want to show the picture if the suspect is black, because we might be seen as racist. The stupidity of some people just astounds me. I mean, it really does. I got a few more minutes, and before I go, before I start the next hour, of course, I got to do my advertisements and everything. If you are on the phones, please stay on the phones. Don't just come on there and you'll be like, well, he talks too much. I got to get out what I have to get out, be honest with you all. I wish I could do this show for 3 or 4 hours, be honest with you. And I know I know I can bounce that lip, I'm telling you. But I'm really ticked off, you know, by the audacity of some people. They think, okay, they're within this group, they think a certain way, they think they're the ones that only need to speak. But if you're part of the group that If you're part of a group that doesn't think like they do, they don't want to hear you speak. And they tell you, well, you shouldn't be saying anything because you're causing division. Well, what do you think you're causing by telling me to be quiet? But you can sit there and run off at the mouth, but you're telling me to be quiet because, oh, it's going to cause some type of division or something. What do you think that's doing? As if you know everything, but I don't know anything. And see, that's the problem I had with this guy the other day. I think it was Tuesday. You can sit there and tell me, oh, you're trying to support the white supremacists and all, or whatever kind of junk he's saying. But you can sit there and you can distinguish people by their race. You can sit there and talk about white supremacy. You can sit there and talk about white privilege. You can sit there and talk about systemic racism. But I can't say anything to counter your argument. And people think this intimidates me. It doesn't intimidate me. It just strengthens my resolve. This makes me be more vile with the truth, if there's ever a such thing. I don't get caught up in this mess. Look, I ain't got no time to be sitting here thinking about and worrying about some white man. I ain't got the time for it. I got things I want to do. You're not going to see me protesting out on the streets. I'm sorry. I mean, you can sit there and say about me whatever you want to. You're just strengthening my resolve. I'm not going to shut up. Not long after I finished talking to this dude Tuesday, I'm back at it. I said, you're not going to stop me from putting up memes or stuff like that up on my Facebook page. You're not going to stop me from doing that. I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, okay, he's offended, so I need to dial it back. No, I'm not dialing nothing back. When it comes to the truth, I am not dialing anything back when it comes to the truth. And I'm not going to apologize for the truth. So if you're a person, you don't like people stepping on your toes, then you need to put some cotton in your shoes. This is Vincent E. Brown. You've been listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend. You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil field and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit.
Welcome back to the program. Welcome back to the show. If you want to be a guest, call in. The call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And it is now time to release the Fruity Bots. Fruity Bots, where are you? Those are not your Fruity Bots.
Oh, Fruity Bots, what is wrong with you? You're supposed to come out after the siren. Oh, anyway, that's my fruit bat siren. And that lets you know I'm about to go to the phones. And if you are a fruit bat, which means you're a person who indulges in ad hominem attacks and character assassinations, gaslighting, I'm going to add that one, trolling and just disrupting the show. If you are one of those who want to indulge in that type of activity, then I will advise you to hang up now, or I will be happy to oblige you, okay? I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be respectable in your interactions on this program. Having said that, let me go to the phones. Let's see if this is Fruity Bot. Hello, caller. Are you Fruity Bot?
No, I'm not. But I'm. If you think you mad on your show, I'm triple mad on the show. But you already know that from a couple hours ago.
Ah, that is good. Okay, let me drop the accent.
I just want to say hi to Greta and all the other folks on the other side of your, on your chat rooms and stuff. I just want to, this is from, I just put a post on Facebook, and it looked like Facebook disagrees with me a little bit, so I really don't care. And what it was is, I put on that.
Uh-oh, he just cut off. Yeah, he just cut off. I don't know why. Okay, well, let me get the second caller. Let me get this one. Hello, caller. Are you Fruity Bot?
Happened to the other fruit bat. They shot him out of midair.
Oh, no. He just cut off. I don't know why. It just dropped. I don't know why. What's
it
up,
goes
y'all?
To show you that we have to be careful. He has to get some. He can't be flying by wing planes. He's got to get him some modern equipment.
Yeah.
But you know, did you look at 2,000 mules?
Oh yeah, I saw that like 2 weeks ago.
All right. Then there's another one out there too. I'll put that in your Facebook page.
Okay.
In Detroit. But no, people can, you know, this stuff saying that they was trying to prevent blacks from voting in Atlanta is a bunch of bull crap.
It is.
And here's the thing that black folks don't realize. They can't carry us. There's not one state in the union that they can carry alone. They just don't have the numbers.
Yeah.
And then again, when you abort 20 million, when you kill 324,000 black men by other black men in a 35-year period, then all the other killing and elimination and everything else, getting caught up in crimes and so forth where you're disfranchised, you're not going to outvote white in a state.
Yeah.
You may join on in some issues, but it's not going to be no carry. Mississippi, where blacks make up 37% of the population, 37% of the population ain't 100% of the population.
Exactly.
And if you look at the abortion, black women aborted in 30 years enough babies to eliminate every black person, every single black person in 15 states, including the southern states, coming on up around the eastern coast all the way up to New York.
You know, it's coincidental that you mentioned the abortion rate. I saw the statistics for abortions in New York City. And you know, between the year 2000 and the year 2018, 150,000 more babies were killed by abortion than were born in New York City. But I don't hear anyone saying anything about that.
No, you have more black babies aborted
mm-hmm.
in New York than are born.
Yep.
Like you say, you don't hear nothing about that.
Nope.
So,
I said, oh, my goodness, you got to be kidding me. I thought it was just a recent statistic. I didn't think they were taking the numbers from 2000 all the way to 2018?
And see, here's the thing. You can, if this like this, what the what they're trying to do, the Supreme Court, abortion never was made to be on a law. But if a woman want to abort a baby, go ahead. Mm-hmm. But for those who don't and want to live in states that put restriction on it, leave them alone.
Yep.
Simple as that.
I mean, really.
Leave them alone.
Yeah. And, you know, they keep talking about this thing about the woman's body and all this in it. And they keep forgetting somebody. The baby's body is not the woman's body. You know, and that baby is not a parasite or anything like that. That's a separate human being. Because if that's the case, then like I said several times on this show, my mom can come down here from Washington, D.C., put a bullet to my head and end my life. Because, hey, it's mm-hmm. her choice. I mean, that's her body. She can do with her body whatever she wants to. I'm the same person outside the womb that I was inside the womb. So, I mean, let's not convict these women of crimes when they kill their children.
Yeah, that's true.
See?
And I put a story in your Facebook page about some black mass killers of whites in a national grocery store in St. Louis that happened back in 1987. So it's nothing new. It just wasn't reported.
Mm-hmm.
It went in and had these store workers lie down on the floor, and he shot them all in the back of the head.
See,
I think it was about five or six of them.
You said this was in 1987?
Yes, 1987.
Well, dog, I was a freshman in college then. I ain't heard of that one.
No. They don't talk about those things. They only talk about the things that's designed to bring about a lot of emotion and misdirection of thoughts. Just like this thing in Buffalo. That's a lot of emotion. You know, they're talking about this guy only wanting to kill black people. Well, you got blacks that do the same thing, mass killing, and only want to kill whites.
Yep.
Then you have whites that do mass killing and say, blacks, y'all can go. I ain't got nothing against you.
Yep.
Remember where that happened, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was in the Orlando.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And he said that he was not interested, basically, in killing black people. It's something like he said, y'all have suffered enough. So that's how it went. Then you had this black man in Nashville went to the white church, all white church several weeks. Then one week he went in there and pulled out a gun and started shooting white folks.
And nobody mentions that.
And he wrote in his manifesto that he wanted to kill 10 whites.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have is some sick human beings. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's all, basically all it is. Yep.
You got men, you got media, and you got some other. All they want to do is stir up this stuff, especially around election time. Like Joe Biden going to Buffalo talking all that crap about white supremacy is evil. White supremacy ain't got jack to do with that. And technically, white supremacy is an ideology, what you going to do with it? You can't do nothing with that. You can't control what people think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because if Joe Biden knew what I thought of him, he'd have me locked up.
Yeah. Probably a whole bunch of us.
Yeah. Have us locked up quick, man. So you cannot legislate ideologies.
Yeah. Looking at these gas prices, you probably lock up three quarters of the country now.
And there's another video shows same woman makes 4 trips to Detroit Dropbox in 2 days. Deposits stacks of ballots.
Yep.
See those slots in those absentee ballot boxes designed to take one ballot at a time. Well, hell, if it's her, well, I mean, who in the heck is she dropping off ballots for?
Yep.
It's them fake ballots. These black women. The ones that are always hollering about someone's not letting them vote. Their voting rights are being restricted by Jim Crow and slavery. These are black women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, and see, when we make reference to this, hey, I'm just saying, why don't the media be fair?
I mean, really. And before I go any further, you know, I would recommend, highly recommend you watch the movie 2000 Mules. You know, don't let your liberal friends tell you, oh, I watched the movie, ain't worth watching. No, watch it for yourself. You know, watch it for yourself. You know, and that movie was an eye opener to me. I was like, whoa. Because before that movie, I was like, there is no hard evidence that the elections were stolen, although I suspected it. And I believe that it was, but after that, seeing that movie, I was like, oh, okay, there's the hard evidence right there. And I would really recommend that everyone watch 2000 Mules.
Yeah. And I see where your buddy Bill Cosby is being accused of something that happened back in the 1970. This is before you were born.
Yeah.
Going back in the 1970s, going to accuse him of something that he done back then.
Yeah.
Who the hell would... We want to believe in something like that. That's crazy as heck, man.
Yeah, I guess they want to keep on riding that train because, you know, he got convicted of something, and you know, and if he's guilty, he is. But you know, I'm like this.
Who in the heck would know if he's guilty? Going back to the 1970.
I mean, for real. To be honest with you. One thing I hated, I think the reason why a lot of people came up against Bill Cosby, and I've heard black people, you know, because it surprised me that a lot of black people were against Bill Cosby. You know, they were like, yeah, he did this, he did that. I believe the reason why they came against him was because of that pound cake speech he gave, I think in the 90s, where he talked about how you can't understand how some of these kids, the way they talk, and I went and you know, they can't spell, they can't read and everything. And I think that turned a lot of black people against him, so that when these convictions came up, he didn't have the support of the black community that other people would usually get. Because, you know, Bill Cosby is a coon and he's a sellout because, you know, how dare he talk about our youth like this?
Well, Bill Cosby had a point. But who's to argue with it? You argue with it, you're gonna be. And see, but what gets me is when people be talking about we and us and want to include all blacks in some, once again, some ideology.
Yeah.
And the victim, this black girl, black female, if she's a girl, really, she's a teenager. Who the shooter said, "I'm not gonna kill you." So. If the news would just report the things and write the stories as it really is, that's all I would be satisfied. I'm not saying that any other ethnic person don't commit heinous crimes. They do.
Yeah.
Now, nobody kills in this country like blacks do. A black person does today. They don't. Blacks kill more whites than whites kill blacks. I mean, common sense to tell you that. Because if whites were killing all blacks sooner or later, their numbers would be all gone, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we'd be extinct by now.
Yeah. when a white woman is raped 30% of the time, the attacker is a black male.
Mm-hmm. Very rarely does a white person rape a black woman. Very rarely.
Yeah, look at the black males that's raping these kids, mm-hmm. these teenagers. Don't hear nothing about that.
Nope.
Look at the shootings in Chicago, once again. As of this past Thursday, 4,464 with 620 murders. 4,464.
Man.
It won't beat last year, which was 4,800. With 700 and some odd murders. So the reason the numbers is going down, you know why that is, don't you? Ain't nobody to shoot.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
You shot everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, my caller left.
What happened to the my other fruit? I ain't going to call him. What happened to him?
Fruity Bot, are you there?
I am still here.
Hello, sir. How are you today?
I was doing okay. I guess I got a little hot on this show, and next thing I know, I'm off the show.
But go ahead.
I called back in.
I was cheering you on.
Yeah, well, Vic, you know the conversation I had a couple of hours ago. I'm just totally disgusted, you know. And by the way, this is for Greta. Greta, I'm kind of like in Facebook jail because I said, if you go to the dictionary and look at the word nigger, it doesn't refer to the black race, it refers to any race. And that white man is a nigger. And as far as black people shooting black people, you are totally correct. That's why probably the shooters are going down because they don't have nobody else to shoot because everybody's dead. If we talking about the white man, we need to take care of our home base, which is us. How many black men say, 20 to what? Well, I'll say 15 to 40. How many black men, that age group, has killed somebody else from 15 to 40 years old? I'm talking about could have been a father, could have been a doctor, could have been an attorney, could have been whatever. You know, and we need to call a spade a spade. And when you call the truth, some people just ain't gonna be happy with you. And I'm just through. And I told this in the day. If a white person called, this might be funny, but this is what was on my heart. If I had bought a case, it had it on me. And a white person called me nigga, I probably would slam them with the cake. Why? I said, look, because I'm extremely upset about all of them, but I'm extremely upset about the young man, black father. A lot of black fathers don't give a flip. But he's going to get a cake for his son. And what happens? He get blown away. I mean, inexcusable. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, he should have been dead 5-6 days ago. Just shoot him. He don't deserve to live another second or two after that. And where his parents at? I'm not saying they should go to jail, but they need to pay a heavy fine. So how old is he? 15? So $15,000 fine for the father and $15,000 fine for the mother. You know, and it could be worse than that. But that's just, it's just like inexcusable. I mean, people just go in the door, ordinary path, and they get blown away. You got all these people up there. I mean, they're just trying to do their thing. I mean, regular people trying to do a normal task of going to the store. Man, you ain't safe in your home. You ain't safe in the movie theater. You ain't safe in the church. You ain't safe nowhere. And I've been thinking about getting me a gun, not to shoot up nobody, just for protection. And they got laws down my way that you got to have a permit and all that. Why I got to have a permit? I could have no crime, nothing on my record, and then after that I go shoot up somebody. I just want it for my own cotton picking protection. And as far as I'm concerned, the gun is not doing me no good if I'm going into a Walmart and somebody goes in there acting crazy. And I'm always looking, observing around me, what's coming in behind me, what's to the left, right, front. I even looking on top of me. It's not doing me no good with a gun. My gun's not in my car 300 feet. And I got to have I can't walk in a store, a grocery store, or auto lot, or whatever I'm going. It disgusts me that I cannot walk in there with my gun if I got my legal paperwork. I should be able to walk in there just like a cop with my gun on me for my protection, for my peace of mind. I'm tired of it. Joe Biden, we need to fire him long time ago because Joe Biden has not done nothing for us. Joe Biden, I'm not saying I agree with everything with what's his name, Trump. But we never had all this problem until Joe Biden got in. We cut the gas line. Well, how much is the gas now? We only want to talk about it. It's entirely too high. We need to get rid of him. We need, as far as I'm concerned, we need to fire just about all the senators and Republicans, Democrats, Republicans in the Senate and the Congress. Because we got some serious problems in this country. And these knuckleheads are out there playing on the playground like 5 and 6 year olds and 10 year old kids. We got major problems. Sit down, get the problem solved, and go ahead on with it. I'm through for right now.
Thank you for that rant, fruit bat number one.
Well, I told you I was upset. I toned it down a little bit, but I told you just earlier today I was totally upset. Go ahead on, man.
Yeah. Some of that is what I was trying to explain to the gentleman on Tuesday, you know, and, you know, once again, he was a champion gaslighter, you know. See, there you go, Vincent, you're over there talking about race and everything, but he was doing the same. He's doing the same thing too. To me, I don't care what your motive is for your dirty deeds. It makes me no difference if it was racial, if you just hated a person, if they just looked at you funny or whatever. To me, murder is murder. It's just, that's just how I see it. You know, murder is murder. And people look at me in shock when they're like, well, how come you don't say anything about it being racist? I don't care if it was racist. I really don't. You know, you killed an innocent person. I don't care if it was racist or whatever. You killed an innocent person. And I had a friend of mine call me on Monday, and, you know, he was going to ask me about that shooting. Before he could say anything, before he got it out, I said, yeah, that dude that shot those people is a racist. But see, you got to understand where racism comes from. It comes from hatred. And where does hatred come from? Comes from evil. The same thing that leads to another person killing somebody. It all comes from evil. So I don't give a rip pair of jeans really about if the dude was racist or not. He killed innocent people. That's my take on the whole thing.
Yeah, but what I want to know.
I got one thing to say. If you want to kill somebody, kill yourself first and be done with it. Then everybody else will live.
Yeah, all your grief will be gone. But what does it take for something to be racist?
I mean, good question.
What does it take for something to be racist? Because these 4,464 blacks shot by other blacks, you mean to tell me that's not an act of racism?
With
these kids, that's not an
good
act.
Point.
You know they use the. You know they say, take that, you in. Take that.
Yep.
So if it's a black person saying, take that and shoot a person, another black, it's not racist. But if a white person take a gun and say, take that, you, and shoot a black person, it's racism, plus a hate crime.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's probably what you would call that, a black racism, whatever. I had to come
620
back with more
murders in less than a year. How many days in a year?
365. That's almost double.
Yep.
That's almost two a day.
Yep. Shoot, 730 would be double.
Is that racist?
I mean,
let's talk about this.
Yeah, I'm telling
what
you.
What the heck is racism?
Yep.
That's humanly racism. I just put that out there right now.
Well, yeah, we can say it's human, but that's not what the media and these factions like Al Sharpton say. Al Sharpton go to Buffalo and going to blame it on Trump.
Yep.
Going to talk about the election of Trump emboldened white nationalists and white supremacy. Well, what about black supremacy?
Yeah, exactly.
What about black nationalists?
Oklahoma. Oklahoma, what do you call it? Same back in 100 years ago, Oklahoma, Wall Street, about 100 years ago. Look at that.
That was a crowd. That was a crowd of people that went in and done something horrible to a town.
Yeah.
But what about the rioting? And that in Ferguson, when Mike Brown got shot, there was blacks tearing up people's stores.
Yep.
Those was blacks tearing up people's black people's stores. So those black supremacists?
Mm-hmm. It was a black man that told them to burn it down.
The 500-some-odd riots in the cities, you had blacks in it. So are they right? What are they?
Yep.
I mean, come on, let's find out what they are. Let's identify.
Mm-hmm.
How in the heck you gonna describe something that whites do and give it a label, but when blacks do the same thing, all blacks can't be racist. You a damn fool.
Yeah, yeah. That does boggle the mind, and that causes everybody to look the other way. You know, nothing to see here. And when people, they... The selective outrage, it tells you where their loyalties lie. You know, when you'll get mad when a white person kills a black person, but when a black person does it to a white person, you don't have the same outrage. That shows where your loyalties lie. It lies with your skin color, you know. And that, I tell you, I forgot my thought there.
It's a national tragedy. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah.
National strategy.
Go ahead, Sam. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. You're good.
No, I was going to say, when people want to use that type of twisted logic, go ahead. But stay the hell away from my kids.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Don't be trying to
You want to start these schools all black. My kids are not going to no schools where that kind of mess is being taught.
Yeah.
And see, you ain't got no kids. I ain't saying no one in particular. I'm talking about the thought, because the same logic that that people carry like that is pro-abortion.
Yep.
You kill up all your kids, then you want to go take somebody else's kids.
Yep.
And when I say you kill up all yours, I'm talking about those that use these pronouns in words like we and us and my people.
Yeah.
Hell, you don't kill up all your future my people.
Mm-mm-mm. The thing that gets me too is these mothers, and I put a meme of this on my Facebook page. These mothers, they already have kids, but they still support abortion. To me, that's backwards. How in the world you got 2, 3, 4, 5, how many, whatever many children, but you still support abortion?
Vincent,
I don't get that.
Thinking while stupid, okay, man?
I mean, that's all you can say, you know. I mean, you done already had children. You had the joy of raising your children and everything, and you still want to support abortion. I really don't get that. I don't understand that. It boggles my mind. I'll be honest.
Do you know
go ahead.
Do you know if? Okay, excuse me. Do you know if we didn't have abortion and abortion number one and blacks killing blacks number two or vice versa, whatever, do you know we would probably be, who knows, 17, 18, we might be 20% of the U.S. United States population. United States population.
I'll go you one further. I'll go you several further. I think we could be 34% of the population right now.
You might be right. I'm not going to argue with you, man.
But here's the point. If you can't take care of yourself, what good is it?
Yeah, that's true.
See, you can see no population. You know, back in the day, back during the Akan society in Ghana, they had slaves, of course. And guess why they killed some of the slaves? Because their population number was growing.
Yep.
Hell, if you ain't taking care of yourself as you is now with few, how in the hell are you going to take care of yourself then when you're many?
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's
they killed off a bunch of the slaves.
That's true.
And that was in Ghana. That's in Ghana.
That's just one country.
Yeah, that's
no,
just
one I say this.
Right,
that's
there.
Just one tribe. That's just one ethnic group, the Akan.
Yep. And
we was in harmony and getting along and we loved and yeah, right.
That's the same thing they say about the Indians. That's the same thing they say about them. Then you get these people wearing the kente cloth and everything, talking about their allegiance to Africa, and they don't realize that that kente cloth was worn by the tribe of people who enslaved the most Africans.
Yeah, they didn't play around. They talk about Nzinga, Mansa Musa. Mansa Musa derived a lot of his wealth from selling slaves.
Yep.
Nzinga in Angola, selling slaves, her people.
Yep. Exactly.
Harriet Tubman. Nut. How the hell Harriet Tubman get all that money to go to what city is that? What's the capital of New York?
Albany.
Albany. How did she go to Albany and buy all that farmland?
Mm-mm.
How did she buy that one hotel that burned down, then she turned around and rebuilt without a modern material? She robbed the cradle. She married a young man about 24 years old after her first husband was killed. Where'd she get all that money from, Vincent? Mm. She was a slave, right?
Yeah, makes you wonder. Yep, she was born a slave, too.
She owned farmland where she was growing vegetables, had orchards. And I think she had also a cattle raising business.
I think she did too. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it does make you wonder, hey, where did she get that money from? Where did that come from?
So, it's a lot of things that go on that people don't know and don't care, but they only, you know, like they talk about the police killing the Black Panthers. The police in Chicago. Well, nobody talks about the blacks that killed Black Panthers out in Oakland.
Yeah, they don't tell you that.
Well, those blacks members of the organization that was founded by Ron Karinga, United Slaves, what a name. They killed a couple of Black Panthers out there, but all you hear about is what the white police done in Chicago.
Yeah, that's all you hear. You know. And like I said, it's selective outrage. They, boy, I tell you, they choose what they want to be outraged at, you know. And, you know, they shed these proverbial crocodile tears every time a black person gets killed and whatever. And they say, well, this is what you all did to us. And, you know, and we're always the victims and everything, but they never look at their own they never take responsibility for the condition that their communities were in. They never take responsibility. You know, anything that goes wrong, they want to blame the white man. The white man, the reason why black people are killing black people because the white man got us thinking like that, and the reason why we do this, the reason why we do that. And really, basically, what they're saying is that the white man has more power than the black man. So I don't even know why these people hold their fists up talking about white power, and then they'll turn around and talk about, you know, the reason why it's so black on black crime is so high is because of the white man and what we went through in slavery. No, you can make your own decisions what you want to do. You know, no one's telling you. Ain't no white man got you under remote control and saying, hey, you see them black people over there? Go over there and spray them with some bullets. You know, you're not even going to take responsibility. And see, that's where the victimhood has permeated so many aspects of this, you know, that every time you bring up a certain point about some discrepancy within the black race, they want to go back to the white man. There are people that say black people tend to whip their children with a belt because that's what the slave masters used to do to us. So that's why, yeah, that's why they whip their children with a belt. You know? I'm like, that is some funny stuff right there. That's funny right there.
Well, I tell you what, it was just about the time you thought you heard it all.
I mean, really, you know. I don't whip my child with no belt because that's what the slave master used to do. And, well, the slave master used to beat us with switches, too. I mean, they used to beat us with those, too, but I don't hear nobody talking about, no, don't whip your child with no switch.
And what the heck is the Democratic president that we have and his administration, what's up with this baby formula?
Oh, well,
you buying up baby formula from all the manufacturers and sending it down to the southern border and storing it for illegals to feed their babies?
Yep.
Is your FDA going around to factories and closing them down because they had one instance? So rather than isolating that section where that batch came from, you want to close down the whole damn factory?
Yeah. And we're in a bind right now because, you know, we're like, oh, no baby formula. Now, some of us were raised on Carnation
yeah.
and pet milk. Some of us were raised on goat milk and everything. And see, this is the reason why I don't like the government getting in everything, because now the government is screwing up and they're like, oh, we're out of baby formula. Oh, my goodness, my baby's going to starve. And yeah, it does, you know, I mean.
Well, that ain't half of it. Yeah. What you got? Once you got medical concerns today coming out and said is warning parents, warning mothers not to make that recipe. No, use that recipe that was used way back in the 60s and the 50s.
Shoot, heck,
I'm here today. I'm nice and strong. I'm alive. I didn't grow a horn out of my head. Was you raised on that too? How about the other gentleman? Did they fix you some carnation milk and Cairo syrup breast formula? Baby formula?
Aradale, did you hear the question? Uh-oh, he might be away from him. Okay. Yeah, but, yeah, I heard about that. You know, the Cairo corn syrup. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm back. I had muted myself. Bye-bye. Yeah.
You know
about that,
don't you, Aradale?
Yes, I do. 360s, castor oil. And all that stuff. And I'm just letting you know that I'm 65 and a half, going on 66, in great health. So, yes, I know about it. So just keep on doing it.
That Cairo syrup and carnation milk didn't hurt you, did it?
It hurt me. And let me tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, they're talking about that being old school. Sometimes the old school should be the right. It's still I call it the right school. I don't call it the old school. That new school is the wrong school sometimes, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you're right, Orangedale. Hey, we
had
all this
milk,
stuff.
Do they still make that pet milk and carnate? I don't even see that anymore, you know.
Yeah, they still make pet milk. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I used to put that in my tea and everything and stuff like that. But a lot of babies were raised on Carnation and pet milk. And really, the baby formula is a relatively recent thing that started up, like, I think it started in the 60s, you know, and we're so caught up in, you know, we're so dependent on the government that we can lose something like baby formula, and we're like, oh, what are we going to do, you know? Do what we did before, there was baby formula, you know what I mean?
Well, what it was, is what they need to do, I don't guess they can do it. But that stuff that you stockpiling down in factories and warehousing down on the southern border,
well,
why
yeah.
did you do that, Joe Biden? Now you
yeah, exactly.
are passing a executive order allowing foreign products to be shipped into the country, opening up American markets, which is practically exclusive to Americans, American workers and companies. Now you opening it up to foreigners.
Joe
That's
Biden
why they had
like
tariffs on them.
Yeah, Joe Biden doesn't seem to have much common sense, does he? I mean, he shuts down our pipeline, but he supports the opening of a pipeline in Eastern Europe. But he shuts down ours, and then he's begging them to, you know, produce more oil so we can have more of their oil. I don't think the man has common sense. And I'm not trying to insult him or anything like that. But that right there, that just shows a lack of common sense. Okay, now you want to send all of our baby formula down to the border to help them out. And folks have even said they've been in the facilities where they house a lot of these the foreigner, the illegals that come into the country, and they say they have rows of baby formula. You know, so why in the world are you going to send it down there? And then you're like, oh, we got a crisis here. You know, I mean, yeah, you're the reason why. You're the catalyst of the crisis. You're the
rolls
one that started the crisis.
Rolls of baby formula.
Rolls of baby formula.
And Pampers. I remember women used to wipe them cloth diapers, wash those cloth diapers out in the toilet.
Yeah, yeah. And they did that up until like the late 70s, early 80s, if I'm correct. Because I remember.
Then they came out with Loves, remember?
They came out with Loves, and not long after that, they came out with Huggies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember that period of time because, you know, I had two cousins I practically raised when they were babies. I had to change their diapers. Maybe that's why I don't have no kids of my own right now.
And I was a foster parent and Willie M. kid, and we had some babies that, two little girls. We actually had four families. So it was two boys and three girls. And to be honest with you, this is for you really, Vincent. My girls today, they look a little bit like Sonner and Nene. But yeah, I remember all that stuff, man.
Well, I tell you what. If you're the foster parent, black, you are unusual.
Yeah.
You ever hear of any black foster parents?
Yeah. Well, I got
black child.
I got friends of mine in Greensboro. They were foster parents. They
if
were
a
black
child go into a orphanage home, they usually don't come out till they're 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had a white young man, too. You know, and...
Mm-hmm.
Most of them were black, but, you know, we had a few girls, but my wife, you know, she was trying to protect me at the time, so I get that. But, you know, it's like every time we went on a trip or wherever we was going, to a music
mm-hmm.
park, out of state or something, it seemed like we always had a kid that was out of the family. You know, and even past that, you know, I mean, when you talk about Willie M, you talk about the worst of the worst, you know. And I'm going to tell y'all a story. Because I don't give a flip today. This is knows that. We had this guy named Willie. He was about 17. He thought he was a bad joker. He punched a wall in my we punched a wall in my house, home. And I know y'all have all heard that. I looked at him like, the alone. I said, go for it. He looked at me for about a couple of seconds, about maybe 10 seconds. He kind of ran on down because he said, either I'm going to kill him or he going to kill me. Now, he's going to send me to the hospital. Let me correct myself. Either he's going to, which is me, going to send me to the hospital or he's going to kill me. He kind of ran on down. So, you know, and then even going to church, you know, a long period of years. That's why I look forward to on Wednesday night, Sundays too, because all these parents want to do is drop a lot of these kids off to get a break from. I was looking forward to, you know, assisting in raising kids. So I got a lot of history with kids, man.
Mm-hmm.
Babies. I mean, we talk about anywhere from 3 years old up to, I don't know, 18 years old, man. Yeah. Fishing to tell you about that.
Mm-mm.
Go ahead.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny y'all mentioned that, you know, talking about the parents. I just learned yesterday that my wife has to work on Memorial Day at her daycare, which they never had to work on Memorial Day. She's been up at this daycare for about 20 years, and they've never had to work on Memorial Day. And I told my wife, I said, you know, schools are closed that day. I said, I told my wife, I said, I will not be surprised if some of these parents drop their kids off at the daycare, because the parents, they don't, you know, they're so career minded. They really don't care about their kids. And then when they do get some time alone, they, you know, oh, I'll just send my kids to the daycare. And to me, I know raising children is hard. I never raised children. I got a little taste of it in the 80s, though. I know it's hard to raise children, but parents need to understand that these are your children and you need to accept all the responsibilities that go with them. You need to, it's like getting married. You need to accept the good times. You need to accept the bad times. And I told my wife, I said, I don't understand parents who take time off from work, but they still bring their kids to the daycare as if that's the daycare's job. No, that's your job. That's your child. Now, if something happens to your child, you're going to be the first one get up in arms. Oh, why has my child got a scratch on his face? Oh, why is my child, how my child get hurt? Oh, why is this teacher treating my child like this? Oh, you care about them then. But when you really need to bring them up the way you should, you want to ignore your responsibility because I ain't got no time for that. I need my rest and everything. I just don't understand these parents. I really don't. And I see it a lot in the black and the Hispanics. They're like, man, look, I know I'm off today, but you go to the daycare. I don't understand that.
Well, you try to put the, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. These people engage in the very thing that they want to blame other people for.
Yeah, exactly.
Showing a lot of ill responsibility.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this real quick. I used to be a school bus driver in the county that I live in. And every time the kid did something, in most cases, they would go back and lie to the parent and leave the child. Because I had a kid. I call them one of them high sedity kids, and what that means is they're from one of them high sedity, so-called high-class little towns in my area. By the way, it was called Shalimar. Anyway, you know, a lot of these kids, they don't ride for 2-3 months because they ride them with somebody in the morning or in the evening, or they have activities after school, see? But they quick to tell you, when you miss your turn, well, you know, knucklehead, if you miss your turn and you ain't been on the bus in 2 or 3 months, why don't you just go ahead and let me know? Well, anyway, I had a little kid. I missed her stop by about 50 feet if it was that long. Do you know she went ahead and got up, disrespected me and told me to get off? I don't feel like walking 2 miles. And they called me in the office the next day. Then you wonder why you – and if I had to ride it all again – I would just say, I wouldn't even ask, I would just say, I don't have time
for stupid parents nor stupid kids, and they can let it hit where it hit. Just letting you know that. That's why they can't find no bus drivers these days to drive. You know, it's. But I'm through on that note.
yeah. But, and it's just going back to what Bianchi said. You know, we're accusing people of things that we're guilty of ourselves, but, you know, we tend to pass the buck because we don't want to take responsibility for our own actions. And it's basically a crazy thing, really. I'm looking at this post by Bring It Boye, and they said when you let daycare raise your children, don't blame the kids or daycare for how they turned out as adults. That's you got a point there, because they did a survey of or a poll of or a test or whatever they call it. They did a test one time about do kids do good in daycare or do they do better with their parents? And by far, they do better with their parents. I can understand why you have a daycare, because, you know, the world we live in today, they made it to the point where both the man and the wife have to work, you know, and that's where the daycare came in at. But see, daycare, in a way, and I don't want to, you know, sound, you know, too negative about daycare, because my mom worked in the daycare. I worked in the daycare. I got an aunt that worked in the daycare. And my wife works in the daycare right now. I don't want to sound too negative, but in a way, daycare is kind of like a Trojan horse. And it's like, okay, when the parents have gone away, then the mice come out to play, you know. And it's a Trojan horse in a way that you say, okay, well, the parents aren't here, so I guess I'm the parent now, and I get to teach them what I want to teach them. And it's the same thing in our public schools and everything. You know, people think, okay, because I'm the teacher, you know, the parent is not here, so I'm spending most of the time with this child during the day, then, you know, I'm responsible for what this child learns. And so that's where all this philosophy and all this indoctrination comes in at in our public schools, because now the public schools are saying, well, y'all shouldn't, we don't want parents telling us what to teach their children, you know, which is one of the stupidest things I ever heard in my life. But that's the Trojan horse. You know, we allow this Trojan horse to come in, and then we just let our kids off at the schools, and we're like, okay, well, Johnny, this is, you know, listen to your teacher. Your teacher's going to teach you everything. I got a career. I got to take care of my career, you know, and they don't have a conducive atmosphere at home to teach their children. And so when their children get older and they're like, wait a minute, why did my child turn into a monster? Because you didn't interact with your child when that child was growing up. You put that responsibility off on someone else because for some reason you didn't want to be a parent. You didn't want the responsibility that went along with being a parent. And now your child is a little demon, you know. And I'm not saying all the children turn out that way, because a lot of them don't. But that's the scenario we find ourselves in today. And people like and here's one thing that gets me too. A lot of us, we enable this behavior with the parents, because the child will act up. The child will act up in class, and then, you know, you get on the child and they say, well, why are you picking on my child? Ain't no one picking on your child. Your child is a little monster, so we had to take care of him. You know, why y'all can be? And then when the child says, okay, my teacher did this to me and everything, the parents will believe the child. And I'm like, y'all got to be kidding me. You're just going to believe your child. Well, I believe my child. I believe my child. Okay, well, then if you believe your child, then why you got your child in school? You know, I mean, and I see so many of these things going on, and I'm like, you know, what kind of a world are we living in? You know, it just seems like every day things just get worse and worse and worse, and nobody is doing anything or using any type of common sense to help the situation along. But anyway, that's it for my rant. Anybody want to make any closing arguments?
I got one thing to say. I done fussed enough, so I have no more to say. But some people need to take care of business, and this has been going on way too long. Now to anybody else that want to have a closing comment.
Okay, well, I don't have anything to say, but I'll see you guys next week.
Okay. Thank you there, Pianchi. And Bring It Boy is making some good points here. My point goes to what you were saying. When Pave the chance to spend time off with kids, they still drop them off at daycare. Exactly. And Bring It Boy says daycare instructors are there to care for kids, not to raise them. Exactly. That's why I say I don't blame kids or teachers. Yeah, it's to care for kids, not to raise them. But now, you know, the regulators, the government regulators and whatever in these who are over these daycares, they pretty much see you as the caretakers for these children. And I know this because my wife, you know, she works in a daycare now, and some of the regulations, you will be amazed. It will boggle your mind, some of these regulations that they have. They tell the teachers, basically, they're tying the hands of the teachers behind their backs and letting the kids run the show. That's basically what they're doing. But anyway, we've come to the end of the show. That 2 hours went by so quick. But next week is Memorial Day weekend. If we don't have an interesting Newsweek next week, I probably won't have a show. We'll see. And just wanted to give everyone a heads up. During the entire month of July, I'm not going to have a show during the month of July. Some things I got to get together and whatever. But during the month of July, I will not have a show. I will not be having a show. And if I don't have a show next week, you know, you all have a good and safe Memorial Day weekend. But anyway, that's all I have to say. This is Messini Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a good Saturday.